Good morning, everyone. Let us turn to the Gospel of John. It's the fourth Gospel in the New Testament. Our sermon today will be on the true vine. Let us read our text today, starting in verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. The union between Christ and his church under the parable of a vine. There are 4 points which I will be giving you this morning. First one, I am the vine, Christ. Second point, you are the branches, the church members, believers of the church. And third, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And the fourth one, for without me you can do nothing. Before I go on, let us read verse 1 through 8 so we can take in the context of this parable. Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that I may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. And the branches cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Verse 8. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. If you look at your bulletins, you will see at the bottom of your bulletins, it reads related scriptures. Now, after I recite a verse of scripture, I will be not reciting where you can find it. You can find it in the related scriptures as you go home this afternoon. The reason for that is I don't want to disturb my train of thought, as I don't want to disturb your train of thought during the sermon. When Jesus begins to tell his apostles the parable of the vine, he, Jesus, addresses himself as the vine and God the Father as the vine dresser. A vine dresser is a keeper of the vineyard, or the worker of the vineyard. The vine is the similitude of Jesus' character. It is an instance of the humility of Christ that he is pleased to speak of himself under low and humble comparisons. This man Jesus, our Savior, the Son of Righteousness, and the bright morning star, compares himself to a vine. The vine has an unsightly and unpromising outside. He, Christ, has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. As the vine is a spreading plant, Christ will be known as salvation to the ends of the earth. The fruit of the vine, spiritual fruits, honors God and cheers man. And so does the fruit of God's mediation that is better than gold. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold. This spiritual fruit are the results of the Holy Spirit, his indwelling presence. Some characteristics of these spiritual fruits are spiritual receptivity. When we sow seed, when we sow the word of God, when we're out evangelizing, That is a characteristic of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual receptivity. The person whom hears the word has spiritual receptivity. He holds on to that word and he passes forth the evangelism of that truth to other people. Therefore, bears much fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Spiritual varieties, another characteristic. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. It is fruit without defects. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Remember, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Jesus, a lamb without defect. So therefore, the fruit is without defect. The product of heavenly wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Jesus is the true vine, as truth is opposed to insincerity or an unwanted claim, often the negative. In verse 1, where Christ speaks of the Father as the husbandman, himself Jesus as the vine, his disciples as the branches, the object being to bear much fruit. Life in Christ, producing the fruit of the Spirit, for example, character and ways in conformity to Christ. Husbandman, akin to husbandry, denotes tillage and cultivation, where the local church is described under this metaphor, tillage and tilled land, suggestive of the diligent toil of the apostles, or the disciples, his fellow missionaries, both in the ministry of the gospel and the care of the church in Corinth, suggestive too of the effects in spiritual fruitfulness. Like the Apostle Paul and his fellow missionaries, we too are spiritual laborers. Here on Sacred Island, both in the ministry of the gospel and sharing the gospel, and the care of the church, Firm Foundation Christian Church. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. We work in cooperation with God, but we are God's field, you are God's building. God's building is simply a church similitude of we are the temple of God. Christ has an eye upon all the branches and prunes them and watches over them that nothing will hurt them. Never was any husbandman so wise, so watchful about his vineyard as God is about his church. That brings to my memory our good shepherd in Psalm 23. The good shepherd, he watches over his sheep. He leads them along paths of green pastures. He leads them to still waters. He goes ahead of his sheep to make sure there is nothing in the way that might have harmed them so he can direct them safely in their journey to the upper fields of pastures. In order to bring forth fruit, we must abide in Christ. From a vine, we expect to see grapes, and from a Christian, we look for Christianity. What do we look for? This is what we look for. This is the fruit of a Christian. Temper and disposition. We look for a Christian that doesn't lose his temper. We look for his disposition. How does he walk in this world? He walks with his head up straight, his head up high, looks into other people's eyes. He walked down along the road with his head down. A Christian that has good fruit is a Christian that can control his temper and disposition. a Christian life and conversation. How often do we hear jokes that are off color, or jokes, dirty jokes, plainly, at work, or even out there in the world? Do we participate in these jokes? Or do we put ourselves a part of these people that tell these jokes, just for the sake of a laugh? They blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ just for the sake of a laugh. Well, we know that these persons, they are not Christians with fruit that are bearing good fruit. These are Christians that are just not bearing good fruit, because they probably don't abide in Christ to begin with. Because when we abide in Christ, we take care that we don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Carefully we walk. Christian devotions and Christian designs, we must honor God and do good and exemplify the purity and power of the religion we profess. And this is bearing fruit. This discourse of Jesus is on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane in chapters 15 and 16 of the Gospel of John. Welcome, folks. The ideas that keep reoccurring in these chapters are that the discipline must love one another. Excuse me. The disciples must love one another. Keeps God's commandments, and that they must abide in him and to expect pruning and resurrection. Excuse me again. Expect pruning and persecution. And that it was necessary for Jesus to go away, that the Holy Spirit would take his place. Their sorrow would be turned to joy, and in his presence, wondrous answers to their prayers would be granted. The Blessed Master, going into the depths of his own sorrow and suffering, was doing his best to comfort his bewildered disciples. In verse 4 of the reading this morning, Jesus tells of the necessity of our abiding in him in order to be fruitful. You cannot bring forth fruit except you abide in me. But if you do, you bring forth much fruit. For in short, without me, or separate from me, you can do nothing. So necessary is it to our comfort and happiness that we be fruitful, that the best argument to engage us to abide in Christ is that otherwise we cannot be fruitful. Abiding in Christ is necessary in order for our doing much good. He that is constant in the exercise of faith in Christ and love to him, that lives upon his promises and is led by his Spirit, bring forth much fruit. He is very serviceable to God's glory and his own account in the great day. In the preceding chapter, Jesus tells his apostles of the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in his name, that will teach them all things and bring to their remembrance all things that Jesus has said to them. There is no new revelation in this day of the church. Whatever is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit is old revelation that has already been revealed to the apostles from the scriptures of the Holy Bible. And the scriptures, of course, of the Old Testament, the prophets. The canon of revelation is complete in the last book of the New Testament, which is called Revelation. Jesus promises us he will not leave us comfortless. If Jesus does not go, the Comforter will not come. Jesus must go. But hear how kindly Jesus speaks. I will not leave you comfortless. I will pray the Father, and he will send you another Comforter, and shall be with you, and shall dwell in you forever. He would not